blessed us with. We do have reason to rejoice and what does stewardship and mission work and prayer have in common? Each one of these involves action. Action which is made possible and acceptable to God through Jesus. Stewardship is more than just money talk. Mission work is more than just what missionaries are sent out to do. Prayer is more than just an ask. This month, we're putting a special emphasis on all three of these actions. Actions which are really a part of our everyday life. And so as we drill in on that focus this morning in our worship, may God bless us through it. We turn our attention to our opening hymn, hymn 250. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful forever. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. We pray, grant, O merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this 21st Sunday after Pentecost, our first lesson comes to us from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, where we hear an example of the fact that God truly is concerned about all people and wants people from all nations to be saved. And so, important reminder also for us to not give a conflicting lifestyle when it comes to being a witness for the Christ. We hear this. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept the thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." "Go in peace," Elisha said. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, "My master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. "Is everything all right?" he asked. "Everything is all right," Gehazi answered. "My master sent me to say, 2 young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing." "By all means, take 2 talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them, and then tied up the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. He gave them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away, and they left. When he went in and stood before his master, Elisha asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "Your servant didn't go anywhere," Gehazi answered. But Elisha said to him, "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever." Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. The word of the Lord. We now turn our attention to the psalm for today, Psalm 90. We'll speak the verses responsively. I'll take the first or the odd verses, if you'll take the even verses, and we'll join together in the glory be to the Father. No refrain. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. For a thousand years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence.
You turn mortals back to dust. You sweep them away in the sleep of death.
The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have to say. Yet this ends the troublous heart.
Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Satisfy us in the morning with your friendly aroma, that we may sing for joy and be glad all
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be attractive for Jesus. That is what you are, thanks to the work of Jesus. Attractive for a purpose, to let His light shine through you. A reminder of how we can do that from Hebrews 13. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison, as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" The word of the Lord.
See, Lord, your servant is
listening. Thank you.
Thank you for that excellent reminder of how to let the light of Christ shine through us and why. Please rise for the gospel reading. Take from the Holy Gospel of Mark chapter 10. If we are not saved by our works, then how are we saved? And what then is the purpose of doing good works? God has clear answers for us to these questions. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." The word of the Lord.
Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Please be seated. If there are children who want to come forward for a children's devotion, they're welcome to do so. Anybody bring breakfast with them? How you doing? Morning. Hey, we're all children at heart. How's everyone doing? Good to see you. Got some elbow room there. All right, in the bottom of the bulletin, we have two pictures. One picture with two things. What's this? Camel. Where do you usually find camels? In the desert. Why? What do you know about camels?
They can survive in the desert.
They can survive in the desert, right? Why can they? Yeah, they help God in his journey, right?
They have the long eyelashes, so that'll keep the sand out of the eyes, and most other animals don't have super long eyelashes, because camels do.
Another good answer, right? God gave them those long eyelashes to knowing that they would be used in all that sand environment. Got another answer?
They don't drink that much water.
Yeah, they can go days without having to drink water. They store it up. Again, God designed camels for such a purpose. That's pretty awesome. What's the other picture of? A needle. What do you use a needle for? How you doing? What do you use a needle for?
Sewing.
Okay. What's bigger, a camel or a needle? A camel, right? Now, Jesus talked about, can a camel fit through an eye of a needle?
No.
No. It'd be silly even to try, right? They each have a purpose, but the camel can't go through the eye of the needle. And Jesus was making the point, we cannot get into heaven, we cannot please God just by doing good works apart from Jesus. But how many people try to get into heaven thinking, I'm a good person just by doing their good works? Way too many. Excellent answer.
What are you?
I like your drawing.
What are you?
Very nice. You're even within the lines. Good job. Right? We need then to tell people what Jesus has told us.
My mom gives us this.
That's a smart mom. Did you pray? Nice. Right? So what we need to tell people is that the only way to heaven is through whom?
Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Because Jesus went to the cross for our sins. Jesus rose again. And because he lives, we too shall go to live in heaven. And so we get to heaven not by what we do, but what Jesus has done for us. So then why do we do good works?
It pleases God.
It pleases God, right? What are some good works we can do to please God?
Well, this is please God.
We can... Yeah, we can pay attention to worship, right? What else? We can help our neighbor, right?
Yeah.
What else?
And,
instead of stealing, we can maybe give people stuff instead of stealing. If you really want something, just ask.
Okay, good. Good answer. What else?
Well, kind of like he said, giving... giving money to the poor or food.
Okay, looking out for others, giving money to the poor or food. You got another answer?
Be nice.
Yeah, be nice, right? To your brothers and sisters, to your mom and dad, to people, right? So we have an opportunity to show the love of Jesus, to show our thanks to Jesus for getting heaven for us by doing good works. We're saved by faith in Jesus. Just like a camel that can't look with eyes, they know so we can't earn our way to heaven. It's to earn for us. So live a life of thanks. Let's pray about this. Jesus, thank you for earning heaven for us by your death on the cross and assuring us of heaven by your resurrection from the dead. Help us then to show our thanks by doing good works out of love and thanks to you. To you be the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up.
Hey, wait, that's the word.
We'll continue with our next hymn. Grace and peace to you from God our Father through our living living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus our attention back on these words from the Gospel of St. Mark. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." The word of our Lord, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow people called by Jesus to let the light of Jesus shine in and through us for his good purposes. Do you have an eye problem? Not the physical eye, but the I word. Each one of us starts out our life with an I problem. I need to be the center of attention. I need people to like me. I need to get the credit for this. I need to do this with the thought no one else is capable of doing it. The I problem does not go away on its own, does it? In fact, it will cling to us all of our days on this side of heaven. I don't want to hear about my eye problem any longer, you say. Well, not a one of us does. And yet, unless you and I hear about the problem, we then cannot appreciate the solution. The solution to our eye problem is great. It is amazing, with a capital A. But again, it will not be appreciated if you and I do not admit the problem you and I have. The young man in our sermon text had an eye problem. He had a bad case of the eyes. His eye problem was evident in the question he asked Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Our natural default position is thinking that we have to do something in order to get into heaven. We put pressure on ourselves that does not need to be in our life. His eye problem was also evident in his response to the answer that Jesus gave him to his question. We are told that this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. His eye problem got the best of him at that moment. Now, we are not told if his eye problem had gotten properly resolved at a later point in time. However, that young man in our text is not any different from each one of us. By nature, we also wonder what it is that I have to do to earn God's favor and so get a place in heaven. How many funerals have we attended where we hear people talk about the deceased in glowing terms and so come away with the thought that surely that person has to be in heaven because he or she was so good of a person? I heard of one pastor for hire who went on and on about a particular deceased person, talking about how good a parent this person was, how good a spouse this person was, how good a contributor to society this person was. Later, the family said that service was a joke because that person was anything but a good person. Our default position of thinking we are naturally and basically good people is a lie too many people, including we ourselves at times, want to fall for because we want to believe it. The young man in our text thought he was a good person. He even told Jesus that he had kept the commandments from youth on. I have not murdered anyone. I have not stolen from anyone. I have not spoken ill of someone. I have not had an affair. Jesus knew that this man missed the point. that his focus was all wrong. Man looks at the outward appearance in order to make a judgment and so justify our actions. God looks at the heart of a person. He sees the real motive and the activity taking place in our heart, and then which makes its way to our brain. It's not just a matter of keeping the commandments on the outside. Rather, it is a matter of keeping the commandments also on the inside. Have we had thoughts of lust? Have we had thoughts of hatred towards someone who has wronged us or who just gets under our skin? Have we coveted our neighbor's life, whether it be the car or the house or the kids or the job? The Apostle Paul made the confession in Romans 7 that he would not have known that coveting certain desires are wrong if the written law had not said, such too is a sin in need of repentance. The young man in our text was feeling pretty good about himself going into that conversation with Jesus, though something must have been gnawing at him to ask the question in the first place. Not getting the reaffirmation he was looking for, he went away sad, we are told. The eye focus leaves us that way, sad and empty and leaving us with doubts. Recall the different situations when Jesus called out the religious leaders of his day here on earth regarding their going through the motions, but the heart was not in it, thinking that the motions would be able to please God. Jesus tried to warn them for their own spiritual and physical and emotional good. A person focused on self is going to have guilt and doubt. There was a lady who was still volunteering way in her later years, a noble thing. But the motive, the reason for her volunteering at that point in her life, was because she still wasn't sure she had done enough good to enter heaven. What a tragic thought process, but not uncommon. And so our sermon text speaks to the importance and the urgency of doing mission work right here at home in our own backyard as well as abroad. People are born with the eye problem. And if not told otherwise, continue in that eye problem all the way into death. A problem that is eternally deadly. Another truth people do not want to hear about, yet it is reality. A reality some try to work at avoiding. Maybe if I just ignore that God exists, or maybe if I stop coming to church, that eye problem will go away. Life doesn't work that way, does it? The young man in our text thought more of himself and of his good deeds than was healthy for him. Yes, we are to do good works. Yes, we are to be good stewards and take care of ourselves. Yes, we are to put God's commandments into practice. But such doing is not a recipe to get us into heaven or able to bring a solid, lasting peace into our heart. It was not because this young man was rich while at the same time being a morally good person. It was that his heart was focused on himself rather than on Jesus and the salvation that Jesus has accomplished. That's what made it impossible for this young man to make it into heaven. That is, if he continued in his eye ways. Let's admit it, wealth can become a distraction or a barrier to the message of Jesus as we think our wealth is all that we need to stay healthy or to help us avoid death. But plenty of wealthy people get ill and die even when they're young. When times are good, wealthy or not, this can become a barrier to staying focused on Christ. When our egos get stroked, this too can become a barrier to staying focused on Christ and the humility that He put into practice and we have been called on to imitate. The eye problem is like trying to get a camel something large through the eye of a needle, something very small. Our good works, apart from faith, are not going to fit through the door which leads to heaven. This man was not going to be saved by his works. But he could be saved by the work that Jesus was going to do and came to do and did. Plenty of wealthy people are in heaven or on their way to heaven because they have come to know and confess that they are saved by God's grace through Jesus, a grace evident in Jesus and the work that he has done. The young man called Jesus good, and he was that, as evidenced in how Jesus went about his daily task. People could not argue the fact that Jesus was such a person unless they came up with lies. But even then, their lies did not fall in favor of accusing Jesus of not being who he said he was. Jesus was and is more than a teacher. He still teaches people today, countless people, for the Word of God. But Jesus is more than a good teacher. He is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, of you and me and all people. Read through Philippians chapter 2, where we hear how Jesus humbled himself by taking on human flesh, something he was willing to do for you and for me and for all. Jesus sought to be alone after doing some awesome miracle, rather than staying around and getting attention from the people which he could have received. Jesus knew what his mission was here on earth to do. Later in Mark chapter 10, we are told, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And in Luke 19, we are told, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." What was lost was you and I, as we were caught up in the I problem. But we do not have to be tripped up by that I word. The life of Jesus, which was not I-centered, has been credited to us through the gift of faith, a faith worked in us, received to us at our baptism, as well as also when we're connected to the word of the gospel, that gospel centered in Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus, definitely not an I-centered action, has been credited to us as well through that gift of faith. Mission work that involves telling people about the life and death and life again of Jesus. For even the grave cannot hold Jesus back from carrying out what was necessary for our salvation. Mission work involves telling people, your eye problem has been dealt with. You are forgiven, not by anything that you have to do, but rather through the work of Jesus and his work alone. This forgiveness and salvation given to us through faith by grace comes with a purpose. Part of that purpose includes doing mission work, telling people about the Savior from all sin, not just the eye sins. Another purpose comes in the form of living our life to the glory of God as a way to say thanks to him for saving us and giving our life a lasting purpose. As we live to God's glory, then, we are also being good stewards, doing mission work as well in a broader sense, setting the opportunities to tell people about the hope that we have, to discuss the life and work of Jesus with them. Living life God's way, then, is not just mission-mindedness, it is also good stewardship. For stewardship, again, is not just being a faithful manager of God's gift of money, but rather being a faithful manager of all that God gives to us, including our very life. And that management has been divided up into three categories to help us focus in on how we are to live our life to the glory of God, that of time and talent and the financial resources. Would you say then that we could use more of God's commandments put into practice by us and by those around us? While we know this needs to be the case, our overall well-being. We also recognize the barriers that stand in the way of putting God's commandments into practice. Now, that is not an excuse, but rather something that needs to be acknowledged for us to move forward. Recognize, then, the barriers in your life. What can you do with God in the lead to not have those barriers impact your living a life to the glory of God? What can you do to help others not allow the barriers in their life live a life to the glory of God? One barrier we all need to work on is related to that I problem. In other words, what is the reason I want to do good works or to put the commandments into practice? If I am thinking that this is the way to get into heaven or this is the way to earn God's favor or how I can be rewarded while here on this earth, if that's what we're thinking, then we're headed in the wrong direction. The motive, rather, comes from God. It is His love that moves us to act, to want to go back to His Word for direction. Dear friends, heaven has already been won for us. Our purpose, then, is to live this life like we believe that fact. We believe it because what God has made possible through His Son, Jesus Christ. On our own, it's impossible to come to God and to Jesus. But with God, it is possible. Thus, we don't have to walk away from Jesus sad. Rather, just the opposite. Now, are there things in our life that will cause us to be sad? Sure. But the fact that heaven has been earned for us and the eye problem does not have to defeat us is not one of those things. Saved and with purpose. That is who we are. Because we have been saved by grace through faith. And that grace leads us then to glorify God with our lives. Life management is at the heart of good stewardship. So as you go on your way today, ask yourself, how is your life management going? We are all works in progress. Again, not an excuse, but rather a reminder of how important it is for us to stay connected to the one who can make the humanly impossible possible for us to achieve. God, help us daily take the focus off of I and put and keep the focus on Him. I am suffering, but God is bigger than our suffering. I am this or that. But remember, God is the one who can make the impossible possible. Case in point, He has saved and called you and me to be His own. Saved and called us to have purpose. And that purpose is to glorify Him through your life of mission work and stewardship. Something to pray about. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now confidently confess our faith in Jesus, the Apostles' Creed on page 10. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray. O Father, whence all blessings come, O Son, dispenser of God's store, O Spirit, bearer offerings home, Lord, make them yours forevermore. Amen. We also pray the prayer of the church. Eternal God and Father, we give you thanks for the blessings we share as members of your holy church, for your gracious word and sacraments, for opportunities to worship and to grow in faith and knowledge, for occasions to serve and be served, for fellowship with believers in our congregation and in our synod.
Help us to rejoice in these blessings, dear Lord, and to use them faithfully.
Jesus Christ, Lord of the church, you give grace to your people by calling us to be your witnesses in the world. Open our eyes to see the great and noble mission that lies before us. In the hurting eyes of the lonely, in the pained eyes of the sick, and in the searching eyes of the lost, help us to see your face, O Jesus, and to serve others as we would serve you.
Awaken us to the opportunities you give to proclaim your message of love.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, through word and sacrament, bestow on us the wisdom and power we need to witness clearly and to act boldly. Help us to speak the truth in love, to give the reason for the hope we have, and to conduct ourselves with gentleness and respect.
Set our hearts on fire as we work in witness for Christ.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray for a family member, an acquaintance, a neighbor, or a friend who does not believe in you or whose faith is weak or troubled. Bless the church with men and women who are willing to proclaim your word in places where we cannot go. Keep them and their loved ones in your care, and let nothing hinder their work. By the power of the gospel, restore their spirits each day, so that they do not lose heart as they serve us and others.
Move us to support them with our sincere prayers and generous thoughts.
As another damaging hurricane impacted states along the East Coast, especially the panhandle area of Florida, Lord, direct the eyes and hearts of people to your promises of grace and deliverance. Your grace is not just for when times are good, but also for the harsh times of life. May not only spiritual blessings come through this and other storms, may also physical and emotional blessings become evident as people work on rebuilding their life. May lessons from this storm be not quickly forgotten. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have given and will put into their life that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. And continue to bless the couples among us who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Renew their love for one another as they reflect on your great love for them. Wherever your word is proclaimed, O Lord, grant it success. Let your kingdom come to us and others, so that we and many more might join the assembly of saints and angels to sing your praise forever.
Savior of all, hear our prayer, and help us in our mission.
Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Lift your eyes to the King. Let His
We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thankfully, we have God's love for us to take home and also to share. May that love of God brighten your day, no matter what you're going through. To our guests among us today, welcome. Glad you are here. If you haven't stopped by our Welcome Center, please do so. We have a gift waiting for you. Also at that Welcome Center, an opportunity to share Jesus can be as easy as handing out or talking through this little handout entitled God's Great Exchange. They're available there at the Welcome Center. Pretty simple law gospel message by which you can show your mathematical skills as well as your art skills. So give it a try. Mission Box, this is the last Sunday. Mission offerings can be given before the fall rally, so keep that in mind. Also, Bam Jam, Befriend a Missionary. Jam is available. There's only a limited supply. No, this is not a Bud Light commercial. There's only a limited supply. $4 gets you a Bam Jam, which then helps our missionaries. All proceeds go to the missionaries. You'll find that there in the entryway. Connect 40s and 50s next Sunday in the evening. Please see the weekly news for our kickoff event for the 40s and 50s Connect. Trunk and Treat, I've been asked to announce this event's taking place on the 26th at 7 p.m. here on campus. We need people to set up their trunk in order to hand out info about our church along with some candy. Please see the weekly news and the website for more details. Outreach and Impact are teaming up on this event. Air Reformation Service, November 4th at 4 o'clock with a potluck to follow. Again, see the weekly news as well as the info board for more information and sign-up opportunities. In your bulletin, you see a handout, looks like this, Christian Estate Planning. If you want to fill it out, you could return it to the office and we'll scan it to Pastor Kogler. It might be a little easier way to do it, and it gets it to him directly. So if you're interested in that, or if you want to contact him, apart from that, we can get you his contact information. For other information, please see, again, the weekly news, the website, along with the bulletin. Thank you to all the instrumentalists today and the voices. God be praised. We close out today by looking at the Wells Connection for this month, something that's definitely near and dear to what we're trying to do with mission efforts. And then after that, we'll take a little break, come back together for a Bible study entitled Reasons to be Thankful.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Consider the challenges faced by a military family with young children, as dad or mom might be gone for months or years at a time. Plus, issues of life and death are always top of mind. In many ways, these families are especially open to the love and caring and support that a Christ-centered church provides. The first step, as with nearly every outreach effort, is making friends, creating a welcoming environment.
Fayetteville, North Carolina is a community dedicated to military service, home to more soldiers than any other base in the world.
Psalm 24, verse 1 sets the foundation.
That means our mission congregation here, Beautiful Savior, serves many young families who are new to the area and looking to build relationships. Activities like this, Time with Tots, a weekly gathering, is designed to nurture connections in the church and community.
Whenever God gives, that we say, oh, I'm going to plan for a portion of this.
It's a really great opportunity to meet other moms. When you go from a double parent household to a single parent household really quickly because your husband or spouse has to go overseas or anywhere, you need that support, and we find that here.
They need this support system. They survive on a support system. And if the spiritual support is there, that's the most vital element that can be there for them and their children.
The church's soccer night is another weekly event that brings families together. It got started when church leaders realized that military houses tend to have tiny yards, so the church grounds were an ideal place to gather for sports. It's one of many ways this congregation has fine-tuned its ministry to meet the needs of the community.
Everybody at church, they will jump right in to help out. They will give you encouraging words, you know, from the Bible. They know exactly what you need to hear, and they know exactly how to help your family.
They have events going on throughout the week for family, and it makes it easier for me to do my job because I know that my family isn't just sitting around trying to focus on me not being there for them.
Because military families move every few years, it's challenging for a congregation that needs an established financial base to operate. Our Synod, in cooperation with the Church Extension Fund, is helping Beautiful Savior grow at the right pace, financing facilities as the need grows.
Our people come because they know, hey, this is a place where God's truth is shared. But what about the larger community? They're used to large buildings, large churches. Not that we need a mega church, but just something that says, we've got a spot for you that is inviting, that can serve us long term to reach out into our community.
I can't explain the relief, like knowing that I had people waiting for us that were part of our Christian family.
To be able to help people like me and my family and other families like me is just the best gift that you can give ever.
Here's a Bible passage that gets into what Jesus did for us and why. Here you go, it's Philippians chapter 2.
Support of this mission congregation is a very real way that all Wells members contribute to the earthly and spiritual needs of our troops and their families, as they keep us safe and protect our religious freedom.
Beautiful Savior might seem like it's in a unique situation, but in many ways it's not. In fact, it illustrates a question that everyone should ask, that is, who are the people in our community? How can we best serve them? Communities change over time, and methods of outreach adjust accordingly. But of course, the precious gospel message of forgiveness of our sins through faith in Christ Jesus never changes. And that gift makes us a light in the darkness in Fayetteville and everywhere.